just tell us a little bit about the kind of work that you've done in the past?
I have been a technology person for most of my life, and eventually wound up supporting nuclear power plants worldwide while working as the director of information technology for a company called INPO, which is the Institute of Nuclear Power Operations Environment, not just domestic in the U.S. And I did a lot of traveling internationally. I teach part-time now, and I teach technology classes. And one of the things that I have to remind students is that, yes, there were computers 40 years ago, because, you know, of course, everybody thinks the dinosaurs were 40 years ago. You know, from a very basic foundation to eventually working into physical security, network security, and then ultimately cybersecurity. So that was my career for about 40 years.
So you actually ended up doing a PhD in the history of ideas, is that correct?
Yeah, that's kind of weird, isn't it?
So what made you decide to do that?
I didn't go to school until very late in life, and I got my first degree when I was 40 from Oglethorpe University in Atlanta, which, by the way, is designed and built and looks just like Oxford. That was the whole thing, is the guy who started Oglethorpe was just infatuated with Oxford, so he made a little mini Oxford here and called it Oglethorpe University. I was there, and I was getting a business degree at first, and then I was actually getting pretty bored with business classes, even though, you know, I was already close to 40. And part of it was it's because it's what I did all day at work. And so I changed with the help of who became my mentor and my best friend, Leo Bolencio, my major to history, because, as he said, I was damn good at it and that somebody needed to continue doing history.
Right. Were there any challenges while you were doing your study, your PhD study?
I have been diagnosed with fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue syndrome. And it doesn't kill you, but it certainly makes your life less bearable.
Right.
In the middle of trying to do research and other things, I hit this kind of health wall. I had to decide if I was going to push my way through it or quit. And I decided that I was just going to have to tough it out because I'm not a quitter. And I believe that at the time, that really helped me deal with especially the fibromyalgia. I mean, chronic fatigue syndrome makes you go to sleep, but that doesn't really impact a whole lot of your life. But I think having a focus outside of, you know, my normal routine gave me something else to look forward to.
What kind of support did Wallenberg College give you while you were going through this and doing your work?
Well, Dr. Noor was it, like, you know, I could send him, I almost felt like he was next door, because I would send, now he's in Italy, okay? And I would send him an email, and it seemed to me like no matter what time of day or night, I would get something back within a few minutes. Now, it might not have been quite that quick, but my impression was that it was that quick. And later on, I realized it was probably because of the time zone differences, is that I'd be sending something out, you know, late at night, and he'd be getting it early in the morning and then responding. But it still worked. And I have to tell you, he was phenomenal. He wanted me to research conflict theory. Mm-hmm. And so I sent him a note back and I said, fine, what is it? That wasn't something that in my other programs had been addressed or discussed or identified. And we went looking for that. And then we did things like, I had never read Adam Smith. Now, I had read pieces of Adam Smith. I actually read The Wealth of Nations, the whole thing, and was just incredibly impressed at how perceptive that man was, you know, a couple of hundred years ago about how things should be today. And so I think what Noor did was challenge me by suggesting research things that would help me with my dissertation, but didn't tell me to do it, just suggested. And for me, that was perfect, because if you tell me I have to do something, I probably won't do it. But telling me I'd probably be interested in something like that, and I'd never heard of it, actually made me interested in it. I think the mentor support there is phenomenal.
While you were doing your PhD, were there any moments that come to mind where you, pivotal moments where things fell into place, or maybe where something clicked, or sort of moments that you remember that stand out in your mind?
Well, yeah, there was a couple. One of the things is when you talk about economic racism, as opposed to, you know, first of all, you have to be able to make a case that racism is not just by color, right? Which is always the traditional way. And I thought I had that covered. But one of the things that I began to do was see that I couldn't just talk about it as this whole entity. And so I broke it down into housing, employment, education, and access to healthcare as the ways that economic racism manifests itself. And I have to tell you, there's still one part of this dissertation, and don't ask me why, probably because it wasn't just numbers, but it allowed me to like write in a creative manner where I discuss housing. Mm-hmm. And how, you know, housing began, and first, you know, we lived under the trees, and then we moved to caves, and, you know, just the progression of how we began to try to keep ourselves safe from enemies and bears and things like that. But it was actually focusing on each one of those regions and how their housing was. And then I did not do the... I wrote about it as a separate entity, and I did do some summary, but I allowed the reader to figure out, you know, how this racism thing mm-hmm. played into that.
Right.
And I, God love the U.S. Census Bureau, because they come up with more facts and figures and information than I think any agency on the planet. And I was heavily dependent on the U.S. Census Bureau for information for a lot of things.